Marketing Online Live, number 71, Why We Twitter.
Welcome to MarketingOnlineLive.com.
Marketing Online Live.
The Internet's first podcast about online marketing with your hosts, Paul Colligan and Alex Mondosian.
Hey, everybody, it is Paul Colligan, and this is another episode of Marketing Online Live. It's been a couple of weeks, and we are excited to be back. Today, we're going to talk about a fascinating little phenomenon called Twitter, www.twitter.com. At first glance, many might look at it and go, what the heck is this about? But it is quickly becoming a very interesting, very impactful, very strategic internet marketing methodology, communication platform, RSS delivery system, a number of things. I'm on it, twitter.com/Colligan, C-O-L-L-I-G-A-N. My partner Alex Mondosian is on it, twitter.com/Alex Mondosian. We're doing it hard. We've got thousands of followers each, and it's something we want to talk about on today's episode. So Alex, how are you doing today, sir?
I am doing dandy. I'm just excited to be back in the saddle and doing MOL like we're supposed to. And this is a very timely and I think very important topic because the Web 2.0, maybe we're at 2.3 right now. This concept of the social networking process and interacting and having very intimate, brief conversations with friends is going to turn what we did internet marketing into a matrix-like format, I believe, where people are going to get access, and the computers themselves are going to have built-in intimacy. So I'm looking forward to seeing where this is going to go. We've talked about Twitter many times, but it seems to be getting more and more of a important part of the marketing mix, even though it's such an informal platform. I mean, I had to dumb down my Twitter account because it looked too corporate and it needs to be more informal. You want to talk about that just for a moment?
Well, you know, let's talk about that, and let's talk about, is it informal or is it extremely intimate? Because this is one of the really interesting things here. I mean, yes, you know, you mentioned dumbing down. I don't know if that's the right word. I'd more say it a strategic tweaking of it, if you will. But you took your Twitter account and you're trying to be more into a regular presentation, regular, you know, day-to-day stuff of what it is that you're doing. Mm. And that, you know, if you look at it, thousands of people said, hey, Alex, I want to know what you're doing day-to-day basis, 140 characters at a time. And like a good marketer, you know, when the audience says, I want to hear you this way, you know, you respond accordingly. Now, what's interesting is the nature of Twitter tends to become very, very intimate. You know, yesterday was my birthday. And before I took off, I wrote a quick note. I said, hey, everybody, I'm off for my birthday breakfast with my girls. And I wasn't fishing for the happy birthday thing. I was just telling a bit about my life because that's kind of what you do on Twitter. And I got back, you know, hundreds of different birthday greetings through Twitter and Facebook and email and e-cards and that kind of stuff. Something that I don't think would have happened if I hadn't thought of that, where I'm heading off to. Now, what was interesting was I got a couple of notes from a couple of people who said, you know, Paul, the thing I love about what you're doing is the fact that the work-life balance is so important to you and that you would take off from work to go have breakfast with your family on your birthday. That's what I like about you. And so I got some instant customer feedback. I got some really interesting awareness of what I'm doing as a result of this quote-unquote informal communication that was actually, if you think about it, kind of intimate. You know, and I've been looking at your Twitter posts and you're, you know, hey, I'm on the phone and somebody posted this on my Facebook and, you know, different things. That becomes a lot more intimate than the traditional, you know, email newsletter or blog update or that type of thing. So I don't know. I think it's actually more intimate than it is anything else. And I think that's part of the attraction.
Well, if you look on the header of all the Twitter pages, it says Twitter. Twitter is a free service that lets you keep in touch yep. with people using the web, your phone, or IM. So that isn't that familiar? You know, wherever you go, yep. there you yep. are, you know, interacting with people. And what it does is it intensifies the intimacy in a very informal way where high frequency versus the, you know, one big event or website. So what this is analogous to having people who are close to you, and let's say you go to a lot of lunches together, right? And they're shorter. They're not like big, long 7-course meals, which is a lot more formal. And, you know, that could that doesn't represent Twitter. This is lots of frequency, in my view. And it just gives someone a sense of what you're doing, what you're up to. And the intimacy, which, you know, I've talked about for a long, long time, you know, marketing intimacy, I think Twitter just intensifies that. It's a tool to have an impact on this this intimacy quotient that people will have in the social networking genre, no matter where they are. So I'm excited to see where it's going. I think it's accelerating, and I have mine outsourced. So I have my joint venture manager and affiliate manager, Dolan Gattery, do most of these and follows up with most of them. So even not touching it, as long as he knows what I would like and what my voice would be in writing back, you know, combining Twitter with other online media, such as, let's say, easyandarticles.com, which recently happened, all of a sudden you get to the top of the food chain because you're cascading, you know, two different platforms. So I think Twitter's an amplifier and getting more reach out and keeping, you know, people close. And it's just another way to, you know, get access to people, a little bit more access than, let's say, Facebook because of the phone thing. I mean, what's your take between Twitter and Facebook and the differences between the two as far as interacting with people, not the platforms
themselves? Well, as you were saying that, it made me think of when I was sitting down at your teleseminar secrets reunion last year, and I was twittering out a couple of things, and I was sitting next to Christina Hills, the shopping cart queen. And as I was twittering these things out, it seemed like Christina was just getting a tremendous amount of texts on her phone. And I've never been one much for the whole texting world. And after I had twittered about 5 or 6 different things during your event, I turned to Christina and I said, "Christina, boy, you're getting a lot of texts." And you know what she says to me? "Stop twittering." She was tied into my Twitter feed, and she had chosen to consume my content via text. And it was absolutely hilarious because it was like, oh my goodness, yeah, that's right. There are people who get this stuff on their, you know, on their phone on a regular basis. Another story, and you and I haven't chatted since this, so I think you'll find this extremely intriguing. I was down in Santa Barbara for the month of August and doing my traveling out of there while staying with some family. And Orbitz did one of the craziest travel mix-ups in the history of mankind. I mean, not only did they have me overnighting in places, but they actually had me they had me arriving in Vegas 2 hours after I was supposed to depart on the plane out of Vegas. And I tweeted. I was just frustrated. It was just sort of my communication to the world. I just said, "Never before have I ever been so disgusted with the travel agency as I am Orbitz."
It's almost like a virtual therapy.
Well, about
session,
about
right?
10 minutes later, you know who I got a tweet from? No. Carly at Orbitz.
Oh my God!
And Carly says exactly. And Carly says, "How may I help?"
Oh my gosh, that is a wild story, dude.
And so I tell, and you guys can, everybody can read this at my blog, paulcolligan.com. And so it was almost so humorous, this whole, you know, departing 2 hours, you know, before I arrive kind of thing, that I'd already posted at the blog. So I said, okay, let's make this a Twitter success story. So I posted a second posting saying, okay, Orbitz, here's your chance. Let's make this the great Twitter success story. Here's what I want. And I spelled the things out and I tweeted Carly and I said, it's on the blog. And, you know, if you do me right, I'll tell the world. And if you do me wrong, I'll tell the world. And, you know, it was a bit, you know, heavy-handed, but that's kind of, you know, the power of the living, breathing, you know, case study that you and I like to be.
Well, the thing is, what's interesting to me is the fact that there's a connection mm-hmm. there, and it's blending now personal and professional, mm-hmm. and people are on the lookout, and, you know, what hat was she yep. wearing? Was she wearing the personal hat or the Orbitz hat? Probably yep. both, you know? So that's the beauty of this process is, you know, it's interesting for me because as a teleseminar trainer, what makes me unique is people know my family life, my story. Gabriel says goodnight, you know, for Teleseminar Secrets. that's kind of like tweeting only on a long-term basis, right? I mean, it's like an ongoing tweet where there's a little anecdote that has nothing to do with business, but they're following along what's happening in my life with my family as they're going, as my kids are going to bed during a teleseminar secret session. Well, I don't need to tweet about that. I can just do it on the teleseminar, but I'm at a seminar. I just met such and such, right? And tweeting about that is just as interesting to me, but the people don't have to be on the teleseminar. It's time shift.
Exactly.
And that's what I love about it.
Well, you said something. You put a couple of words together. I don't even know if you realize this, but you used the word informal intimacy. And I wrote that down because I definitely want to put that at least in the show notes. You know, Twitter is almost informal intimacy, and then the teleseminar, the podcast, the webcast, the live event, the book is more of a, you know, from an informal intimacy to maybe a formal intimacy to maybe a strategic intimacy. Mm-hmm. You know, but I really like this idea that, because I mean, a lot of people tell me, so the funny thing with that whole Orbitz thing was, when I arrived at the event in Atlanta, I had dozens and dozens and dozens of people look at me and go, did Orbitz make it right? Did Orbitz mm-hmm. make it right? And they felt, you know, they knew about my travel problems. When I walked into the staff meeting, you know, the guy up in front, he said, hey, Paul, you actually made it. I guess Orbitz delivered. Mm-hmm. And so these people, I mean, that's intimacy. You know, if somebody on the other side of the country knows that I'm, you know, delayed in Phoenix, then that's intimacy. But you know, they know so little. They don't know what flight number. They don't know all the specific details and that kind of stuff. So I want to call Twitter informal intimacy.
Yeah, and I think that it's rapid informal intimacy.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, high frequency, rapid, and there. You know, it would be interesting if we came up with Twitter etiquette. Because, with email etiquette, for me, if someone has my private email, if they say, hi, Alex, that's a no-no, because that's waste. If they dive into it, all lowercase, no more than, 25 characters wide, you know, on the column width, I can answer very, very quickly. But if I see a block of digital vomit in my email box from anyone who's even close to me, I won't, you know, read it because I can't. It doesn't fit into the criteria of my, email etiquette, of the way I receive it. Now, for some people, long emails work. For me, they do not. I don't use that tool for that. And I've been trying to train people because eventually I will go handheld. I don't right now because I don't want that headache. And I know you're handheld. But the moment I go handheld, I don't want to read like 400-word emails, you know, 50 words or less. So with Twitter, I think we could come up with some criteria for another show of what's the most cost-effective way and what topics are the most effective to tweet on. So it's not going to be a waste of time. You know, because when you look at it, sometimes you go, why did I do that? Hey, I just went to the restroom. So what? Or I just got on board this plane. Yeah, so? So there should be moments of tweeting, just like moments of power or memorable moments or moments that make shifts, like these little inflection points where they're worth tweeting. And then when everyone knows what's worth tweeting, now you have a rules of engagement and you're not wasting as much time and reading. And Christina Hills is not upset because she's getting so many text messages because she's got the feed. Does that make sense, you think, to set the criteria?
Yeah, well,
like
you know, and a lot of people are doing that. Our mutual friend, Coach Deb, she's been working on a Twitter ebook. I know Mari Smith does a lot of work in the Twitter space as well, and we should probably poke around, and I know both of them listen, so if you guys have something out there, but yeah, some sort of Twitter kit or Twitter kit or whatever you want to call it could be interesting.
A single page, you know, just a single page of, you know, if you're gonna tweet with me, is that the proper verbiage?
Sure, why not?
If you're gonna tweet with me, here's how to tweet, okay? Otherwise, please refrain. And, I interviewed Mari Smith recently about Facebook. And she's a very, very bright woman. And she's on the Teleseminar Secrets faculty now. And she gave me a statistic that is mind-boggling. There's 100 million people on Facebook. 80% of them log in daily. The average login is 20 minutes. I mean, that's mind-boggling. And I asked her, why is this happening? She gave me three reasons, which I'm not going to cover, but I'm going to tell you one of them, and I thought this was so elegant. And she said, it's because it's a database of intentions. It's a database of intentions. When I know your intentions, then you interest me. Because if your intentions are similar to mine, then I'm not looking at you as a noun anymore. I'm looking at you as a verb. And Paul, I know you know what that means, right? And so in looking at Twitter, it's not really a database of intentions, but I think they're little anecdotes of experiences, which lead to intentions. And so I think what Twitter can do is, if these experiences are meaningful enough to you and they're meaningful enough to someone else, then you're going to find out, you know, what group is wanting to follow you. And you can create a theme, which right now I don't see. It's kind of like the Wild West. Like, I have no idea why people are following me. They're just kind of following, right? But once I find a theme and a nerve where there's an intention, or at least a vein of intentions where people seeing, hey, this is what he stands for, this is what he believes in, I wonder what he's going to do next, I think that will increase the impact of this platform, as well as bring themes into it versus just the, you know, right now it's all, you know, all's fair. I've seen all kinds of, you know, tweeting going on without any type of topic-centered approach. What's your take on that?
I think, you know, this is why I love hanging out with you, because you're always the strategy guy on this.
I'm looking at it as a monetization thing too.
Let's talk monetization, and let's talk, okay, Facebook versus Twitter. I recently was doing a rather significant affiliate campaign, and I've got about at the time I had about 3,000 Twitter followers and about 2,000 Facebook followers, and my clicks from tweets to the affiliate page were 4-1 Twitter to Facebook. Okay. So now I realize I had a few more, I had a few more in Twitter than I did Facebook, and it's not necessarily entirely scientific, but.
But you're saying clicks.
Clicks,
though, right?
Clicks. Yeah. Wasn't able to look at conversions at all, okay, although the program did convert very well for me. It was a free offer kind of thing. So those tend to do extremely well. But the thing is in Twitter, and then there goes you and your wacky strategy, Alex. To me, Twitter is a medium of immediacy. You know, 95% of all clicks that I get from Twitter happen within the first 5 to 6 minutes of the tweet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whereas the stuff that I get from Facebook is consistently flowing. You know, the person, you know, when that person decides to do their 20 minutes of login, that's where they come by to see what I'm up to. You know, mm-hmm, not that immediate response. So Twitter is this rapid informal intimacy.
Totally.
Where Facebook becomes, you know, more maybe formalized intimacy.
You know what it is? Twitter is kind of like, it's just like going to work every single day and checking the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas it's really destination, but it's rapid, you know, going to it over and over and over again. So I would imagine you get more clicks because there's more immediacy,
oh, yeah,
within the context.
Absolutely. Well, it's a lot like, I mean, to use that work analogy, it's a lot like the water cooler. Yeah. You know, I mean, every once in a while you just want to kind of see what's up. So you go to the water cooler and you kind of talk to whoever's there. You know, you don't go, gosh, I didn't get my 2 o'clock water cooler appointment, you know, if something was going on. But those times at the water cooler, it's kind of fun to catch up with everybody.
And the informality of it is that you're going in at any given time, and it can be an obsession for some.
Oh, absolutely. And it is. And one of the things I do in Twittering is, you know, people ask me, what's your favorite Twitter application? I don't use a Twitter application because that's not strategic. Spending my entire day at the water cooler, I mean, we all met people like that at work. People spend the entire day at the water cooler, or maybe even, you know, get a desk near the water cooler so they can overhear all the conversations that happen.
Right.
You know, there are those types, and they're the ones who you know, quickly, you know, get fired or you know, never get the promotion because no output comes. So I used, you know, and the purpose of this call was to discuss why we use Twitter. You know, I like these terms that we came up with, you know, rapid informal intimacy. I use Twitter because, you know, as of today, 3,475 people have said, hey, Paul, I want to consume you in short, bite-sized increments at your will. And the clicks I get from that are as good as clicks that I do from anything else. So I believe these people are true. And I'll continue to track that. You know, I believe the Web 2.0, the reality of Web 2.0 is not rounded corners and dropping vowels from your names. But true Web 2.0 is meeting your audience at the time, the place, and the device that they're choosing. That's why we're such fans of blogging. That's why we're such fans of podcasting. And this really unique ability for rapid and formal intimacy through Twitter is the very reason that I tweet. And I think what's interesting for you, Alex, let me kind of predict why you do it and then help me refine it in my mind. I think you do it because you see its power. And you see the fact that thousands of people have said, hey, Alex, I want to consume you 140 characters at a time. And right now you're going into it with more of a, all right, let's see what this 140 character at a time communication methodology is all about.
You know, how to accelerate the growth of your business 140 characters at a time. Okay? That would be a great little article.
There's an easy article for you, yeah.
Totally. And, you know, this is going to sound naive. It's not going to sound believable. But at this moment of the time of this recording, if you go to an e-zine articles subdomain, which is no www, just twitter.ezinearticles.com, here's an interesting thing where I have no idea how this happened. I think it's because I have articles on e-zine articles and I have a following on Twitter, which I haven't even worked on. It's all being done for me. So if you're an entrepreneur and you know how to delegate properly, right now, before Paul comes on, I am number one on this e-zine articles expert authors on Twitter. So now e-zine articles is, you know, I guess blending or collaborating with Twitter, and I guess they could do that with, you know, other platforms as well. But for me, I'm looking at, wow, if I'm doing well in one venue, such as article writing, which is, you know, Twitter only, you know, 10 times as long, 1,000, you know, word article, or, you know, 500 word article, 500 times as long. What's kind of cool is it makes total sense, you know, for those two, e-zine articles and Twitter to collaborate. But if you are a business person or an entrepreneur, it makes sense not to have a bias towards any of them. Just pick the ones you think are going to win, like you pick your search engine of choice, and then you go with it. So for me, Facebook, e-zine articles as the article directory of choice, that's the big rock in the jar, Twitter, and then I'm thinking about, you know, not continuing to build LinkedIn, because I believe that's an obsolete, boy, that's going to raise some eyebrows. I believe that, you know, LinkedIn may be obsolete very, very soon, but Facebook certainly is here to stay, and I think people are going to change their email habits with Facebook. I think Twitter is here to stay, or at least that format. e-zine Articles certainly is growing, you know, with so many million visitors. I don't know if it's accurate, 11 million visitors a month. That's a lot. And so I think it's interesting for business people to cross-pollinate some of these platforms so that they can get additional traction. Now, with e-zine Articles, I build my list every single day. Got over 100 articles there. I haven't written them with my fingers. I've written them with my mouth, as you know, through repurposing. And they go into three or four different opt-in sequences, and my list, you know, grows about, you know, 200-300 people a day, with an opt-out rate of about 10 people a day, you know, coming through there. So, I mean, it's pretty good. It's organic growth. I'm not doing a thing, but I had to lay down the foundation, and the intention was pick a theme of what I stand for. I'm an electronic marketer. You have a theme, Paul. Those who are most successful have themes, and I think that's a great way to close this out. People have to identify who you are and what you stand for so they know how to write with you and how to follow you, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. This is good. I would love to have some head out to marketingonlinelive.com and tell us what you think about this topic. My Twitter is Culligan, is twitter.com/Culligan. Alex's is twitter.com/AlexMendozian. We've been chatting about why we Twitter. I think the consensus is we know it's powerful. We're seeing some interesting results from it, but it's definitely something that we're going to need to continue to explore. And this intimacy with our audience of the two-way conversation of dialogue between the two of us certainly means that we've got something to learn from you. So I would love to get your comments. Any additional thoughts, Alex, or should we close it up?
I think we close it out and just see where this sends us. I know 3 years ago we talked about preloading iPods, and now it's just accelerating. So I'm looking forward to what's going to happen in 2009 as this acceleration. Feel it. Can you feel it?
Well, great. Well, thank you, everybody. You've been listening to Marketing Online Live, episode number 71, Why We Twitter. You can visit us online at www.marketingonlinelive.com. Email us, talk@marketingonlinelive.com, or leave us a voicemail message at 206-339-2954.
You've been listening to MarketingOnlineLive.com.
Marketing Online Live.
With your hosts, Paul Colligan and Alex Mondosian. If you're a subscriber of this show, the next episode is coming soon. If you haven't yet subscribed and would like to have our show delivered directly to you, search for Marketing Online Live at iTunes or visit www.marketingonlinelive.com.